What makes people passionate about going halfway across the world to touch somebody's life? Or maybe just across the street to your neighbor's house and do something, share something from your abundance. I remember when I was a kid and my father had just bought the first car we had, and that was a rare thing. I mean, we were not rich, but to have a car back then in Latvia was something special. And I remember I was at home and he had brought the car home, and my brother hadn't come home. And as he walked through the door, I was just bursting, and I just had to tell him the good news. And I said, "You can't imagine what we have." And I just had to tell him. I just was so passionate about it. Or at the receiving end, have you ever desperately been waiting for the news and hoping and praying that those are good news? Have you been in need to know this moment and it's not coming? I remember when I was a kid, my mom had an operation, a surgery, and I was waiting, sitting in the hospital waiting room and waiting and waiting, and I didn't know. And I was too young to realize the gravity of what's going on, but I knew that this is something that can profoundly change my life. And I was waiting for the results. And then the doctor came out and brought the good news. She's okay. Have you been in a situation like that, that you have to know what's going on? The Bible talks about the good news. And it calls it the gospel. The good news that the whole humanity is desperately needing. The good news that the rule of the enemy of God is over. That God is victorious. And Paul was talking passionately about these good news, and he talked in Romans 10. He said, "And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent?" And then he quotes a text from prophet Isaiah. And he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And you have that quote on your bulletin in the front from Isaiah. The good news in Greek, it's evangelio, which we have in English like a word evangelical, the gospel. The gospel, the good news. Somebody has to bring the good news. And let's just briefly turn to that quote from Isaiah in chapter 52, where Isaiah is describing this scenery. And he says from verse 7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy." What he's describing is very interesting. It's a city under siege. And in those times, armies, sometimes the generals decided that it's not worth fighting the battle. You just set a siege around the city and wait it out. And maybe it went on for months or maybe sometimes for years, until the food and water runs out, and then they can take the city and take them, the people, as their slaves. So this is a scene of a city under siege, and they know that the battle is raging outside the city walls, and everybody is waiting desperately for the news, and they're praying and hoping that it's going to be good news. And then, as the prophet describes, on a far hill there is a messenger, And the messenger keeps running towards the city. And on the walls there are watchmen who are looking on lookout to see if the messenger doesn't come. And when they see the messenger, they relay the message to the city people. And the messenger, the way he runs, tells the story, whether it's good news or bad news. And in this instance, the messenger is almost dancing, and he carries a palm branch, and the watchmen shout in joy, say, "The good news!" And everybody in the city joined the choir. And it's in verse 9 it says, and they burst into songs of joy together because there is good news. And the good news is about peace, about goodness, about salvation. The people are not going to be slaves. They will be free and they will be able to live in peace. There is another story that describes a similar situation in 2 Kings chapter 7, 6 and 7. It's a story about Samaria, the capital of Israel at that time, the northern kingdom. And this city was under siege. And the situation was terrible. There are pointers of what the situation was in chapter 6. It was famine, verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. They lasted for a long time, but then the food started running out, the water started running out, and they turned to unconventional methods of survival. It seems like they had killed all their horses, except five, because later in chapter 7, verse 13, it says that they had only five horses left in the city. And then things were terribly out of whack. The prices were inflated. It says that the donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. People were desperate. And that's not it. It says further that sometimes people turn to cannibalism. I mean, it was an awful situation. It couldn't be worse. This is the situation in Samaria. And in chapter 7, it says that there were four men with leprosy. Four men who had this disease. They were social outcasts. And in the Bible, as you know, leprosy is a symbol of sin. So these four sinners who were condemned by God, and they lived in this situation where there was no food, no hope. And it says that they finally had gotten to the end of their rope and that they were finally ready to give up. They were ready to give up their attempts to save themselves. And they said, "We are dying anyway. We might as well walk out of the city and go to the enemy camp and surrender. We'll die anyway. If they kill us, they kill us. Because we don't have life anyway." So in verse 5, it says, "At dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, there was a huge surprise. Not a man was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives." And later in the chapter it says that they found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. They were so afraid that they abandoned everything. And it wasn't the accomplishment of the Israelites who had the credit for this. The Lord. It says the Lord had done it. The Lord had caused the Arameans to flee. And these four lepers, out of the nothingness in the city, utter poverty and famine and disaster and hopelessness, they come out and they find this abundance of everything, of food, of drink, of treasure. And it says, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents, and they ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, clothes, and went off and hid them. And then they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them. So they go back and forth. They fill their stomachs. They're satisfied. And they start hoarding the treasure that they find in the tents. They are rich now. They live in the abundance. And then a thought occurs to them. Wait, we are enjoying this wealth, this abundance, and the rest of the people in the city are still starving. We should share the abundance. And here they jump right into the Isaiah story, because they run back to the city. And they announce the good news. And the watchmen listen to them. And they relay the good news to the king. And the whole city is saved, because these four lepers wanted to share the abundance. I am that leper who lives in total depravity, in total poverty spiritually, and I need the good news, but I cannot grasp the good news unless I realize the bad news, which I have without God, in which I live without God. And then when I discover the abundance of God's grace, what Jesus did for us, what Jesus gave me, the abundance of heaven, the incredible good news of salvation, that God won the victory, that I am not going to stay a slave forever, that God liberated me, that He redeemed me, that He brought peace, and that He brought abundance in my life, then I'm ready to share the good news. I'm ready to turn to other people, and whether they live across the street or halfway around the globe, I catch the passion that there is good news to share. While the world is dying, God has brought the good tidings, the good news, that the evil and sin will not rule forever, because God is victorious. And when we receive this incredibly good news, then God gives us the passion to share them. When we have understood the bad news about our situation and discovered the good news of God's salvation, then we can't do otherwise but share. See, life of a Christian who understands the gospel, the good news of God, is a life of constant gratitude. It is a life of sharing of the abundance received from God. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus brought the abundance. And in John 4:14, talking to the Samaritan woman, he said, he offered her the water to drink, the water of life. And he said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you want to be that spring of water in this world, which is so thirsty? Do you want to be sharing the abundance that God has given you? And if you want that life, if you want that abundant life, then the answer is not, let's just try harder to be nice people. The answer is to take a sip of that water that Jesus is offering. Take a sip of the water of the abundance that he's offering in his good news, the gospel. And taste the abundance that was made available to you by Jesus. And your life will become a spring of water. And there was more to it. When these lepers found the treasure, it was also a physical, a material treasure that they wanted to share. And God gives us also an opportunity to do that. We have an abundance. You heard the testimony about how poor people can be in Africa, in Uganda. And in comparison, we are rich, all of us. And in that abundance, living in that abundance, we can share. And right now is a time that we can worship God by sharing something of our material abundance that he has given us. It's a time to share. Will the deacons come forward, please?